American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us again. Third hour of the program, getting ready to kick it off. If you want to join the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. It's a number you're going to want to call. We're going to go over the stories. Obviously, that's going to be the main subject, going over the stories that we've discussed thus far. And like I promised you, it was a packed show. We've gone through a lot so far. And there's more to discuss. There's a lot more to discuss. So we look forward to doing just that. All right, folks, in just a few moments, Beau French will be joining us in regards to the Islamic takeover taking place in Texas, the lies that are being spewed by those on the left in regards to ICE, and so much more. Also, Beau French is running for Texas Railroad Commissioner, and we look forward to asking him a bit about that, because that's a big one. And Beau French is a fighter in the great state of Texas. So if you are a Texan, this is the guy you're going to want to support. So we look forward to asking him, too, about his campaign, because I want to learn more about that. And I also want to learn more about the H-1B visas, which are just being given away in northern Texas. It's actually devastating when you look at communities like Plano, Irving, Dallas. You know, they've been taken over by foreigners, and it's something that is obviously a deeply concerning issue that we could actually control. We could actually stop this while we're ahead. Or a little behind, but we could be optimistic and say while we're ahead. Now is the time to do just that, and I look forward to asking Beau about it. There's also a new poll out from Rasmussen Reports, and it says everything that we've been talking about in regards to this Islamic takeover is where Americans, their concerns lie. Again, more information coming out, more numbers coming out, that 63% of U.S. voters oppose Muslim compounds being built all across the United States. We are the majority. Don't let them try to tell you and call you a mean, nasty name and make us feel like we're not. We are the majority. So Beau will be joining us in about 4 minutes to react to that. And I look forward to talking about that with him. Also got my eye on a lot of things taking place right now. We'll also be taking your calls. I want to get this one up to clip 5. Kara Castroneva is doing an incredible job. We played a clip earlier about her going after Jamie Raskin, but she doesn't stop there. This woman is a fighter. She is a New Yorker, you know, so I do have my bias there. But she's confronting Jasmine Crockett for being a absolute hack. Take a listen.
Miss Crockett, why did you, he just pushed me. Miss Crockett, why were you crying for Renee Good, but you wouldn't cry for Ashley Babbitt, Miss Crockett? You were crying fake tears for Renee Good, but not for Ashley Babbitt? This is, come on. She's right there. There's a Miss Crockett who was crying crocodile tears for Renee Good, but was crying no tears for Ashley Babbitt.
You know why I love her? Kara, that is. She's a fighter, but actually is a fighter. She's a trained fighter, and Crockett doesn't want those hands. You know, she could be a ghetto hood rat all she wants when she's in front of CNN and MSNBC cameras, but all of a sudden when she's placed in front of a badass, she doesn't want to run her mouth anymore. Kara Castroneva doing great work confronting the people that are trying to destroy this country and spew nothing but lies. And that is the reason why you hear Jasmine Crockett just running the other way, wants no part in Kara Castroneva's confrontation there. So that was a great chuckle, a great, great chuckle that I was able to get in when I was watching this. Also, folks, I don't know if you saw this story. Kamala Harris, apparently she's loaded. She's loaded. Kamala Harris has just apparently upgraded her homes and she's just added a mega mansion to her portfolio in Malibu, $8 million. Must be nice. Her and her hubby have just snatched up a $8 million property, which is about 4,000 square feet, 4-bedroom, 6-bathroom home. And it is in one of the elitist neighborhoods, of course, where all the other Silicon Valley power players are. Is how the media will cover that for you. But obviously, Kamala Harris purchasing up this land and this home, it's just another example as, you know, you align with these deep state operatives, and even if you lose an election, they will still have your back, and you can become rich too. How rich? Well, obviously, rich enough to purchase an $8 million home. I'd love to see that book deal, by the way, that book deal. I wonder how much she got in that book deal. I bet you, if you follow the money, might be a reason why she's able to afford an $8 million home. Might be. All right, guys, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a minute. Third hour of the show kicking off. And again, we're taking your calls in the second portion of the hour. So make sure you call 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539 is the number to call.
Beau. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. I'm excited you guys are all jumping on board with us today. All right, a lot happening over here in Texas. I want to make sure it's on your radar. I'm really fired up. I'm really angry because I love the DFW area. I keep talking about it. And it's been infiltrated by foreigners. Now get it. I've been traveling back and forth to DFW for quite some time, and I've seen the drastic shift. I mean, over the last 10 years, you've seen it. If you ever traveled to Irving, Plano, Dallas, a lot of foreigners have made their way in from, you know, India and other countries, Middle East. It's bad. It's bad. And they don't even really want to be a part of our community. They're physically there, but they don't want to be a part of it. And when you go through the numbers as to what's been going on in northern Texas in regards to the foreigners who have infiltrated, the visa appointments, which have surged, it's really, really concerning. When you look up, by the way, it doesn't have those in India very happy. If you look at how they're covering all of this with the Trump administration trying to push back a little bit, I mean, I don't think they're doing enough. But when you look at this, they're pretty much saying that how Indians are stuck. Many of them are concerned that they're not being given visas fast enough to come here and take our jobs. Now that the Trump administration and the State Department are saying that they're expanding the social media vetting that's been going on. That was announced back in December, of course. So they're really upset that they can't get these visas fast enough. But if you pay attention, if you actually look at this map of how HB1 visas are being dished out, Texas is really concerning. Texas is really concerning. And the numbers are in the thousands, hundreds of thousands. Our communities are being taken over by people that hate us, people that don't want to assimilate, people who come from third world countries, and we're just expected to sit here and just take it, deal with it. There was a video circulating of a woman who was actually going off on all of this, and she was very fired up on the issue, saying that there's just one law firm that's actually dished out over 700,000 of these, and they keep representing, they keep helping these people get these visas. Joining me to discuss is Beau French. He is a candidate for Texas Railroad Commissioner, and this is a guy who will not be silenced on this issue. He's obviously an outspoken individual who wants the visas to end. He wants these imports that are coming from countries that hate us to end. And he wants Texas to be returned to Texans, which is a very controversial take these days. So it's an honor to have Mr. Beau French on with us. And I wanted to get your take on this. You know, now it's becoming very trendy to talk about these issues, to talk about the fact that northern Texas is being captured by foreigners, and they're utilizing the H-1B visa system to get in. And a lot of Americans are fired up over this. You know, Rasmussen Reports, too, just put out a poll also in regards to the Islamists who have been brought into our country. And the vast majority of Americans are also siding with the American people on this and not with the people that we've imported. I believe it was 77% of their voters are concerned about the influence that radical Islam has. And about 63% of U.S. voters are opposing of the Muslim compounds that are popping up all across Texas. So when you sit here and look about how Americans are becoming outspoken on the visa issue, Beau, and when you see the numbers that are coming in about the Muslims who are coming into our country and coming into Texas specifically and how the vast majority of Americans don't support it, are you getting a sense of hope that all of this is gaining the majority support?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show today, Brianna. It's great to see you. You know, listen, this is something I've been screaming from the rooftops for quite some time. I think I was probably the first person that I know of.
Yeah.
There may have been others, but I was the first person I know of who said we need to deport 100 million people. And I mean, you would have thought that, you know, I'd called for the, you know, murder of, you know, half the country. I mean, it was crazy, the response. But you just look at, you know, the influx of illegal aliens that we've had long before the Biden administration. I mean, there were probably 30 million here before the Biden administration. They let in another 20 million people. And then, so, you know, that's 50 million right there. And then our own government admitted there's over 50 million visa holders, foreign visa holders in our country. And I think that most Americans, you know, would have been okay with a few foreigners coming in and, you know, working in our system. And I don't think that would have been a big deal had the system not been abused. But if there's one thing that is just acutely noticeable when you drive around these neighborhoods now that have just been inundated with foreigners, and like you mentioned before, they're not really assimilating. And so we have entire neighborhoods that are bringing their third world culture into America. Mm-hmm. They're not assimilating into our culture. And, you know, it's hard to have a nation when people don't assimilate into the culture. And I think the thing that really, you know, raises the ire of most people is we've now discovered that, especially like on the Indians, for instance, a lot of the people who've come over, we've noticed that, and even they've uncovered in India these corrupt mills where they're turning out all kinds of fake documentation. So this lie that we were told forever that we're bringing in people to do jobs that we couldn't find an American to do because these people are more educated or more qualified or whatever the case may be, turns out a lot of them have just fake documents, fake degrees, fake diplomas. So we're not really bringing in the best and brightest. We're bringing in a lot of low IQ people, and they're bringing in their values. And, you know, these third world countries, their values are very different than the Western culture, the European culture that, you know, we formed here in America. And that's, you know, very much of a high trust society. We're not seeing that among these other people. Their worldview is whatever I can do that's good for me is the right thing to do. Well, that's not an American value. And that's what has led to, as we've seen in Minnesota, for instance, with all the Somali fraud, you know, that's what's led to this, you know, they're just committing the fraud because they view that as that's what's good for me. So therefore, it's the right thing to do, which most Americans find abhorrent. But I think what we're going to find out, and God bless these people who are doing some independent journalism here in Texas and uncovering some of the other foreign groups that are doing this, like the Indians with the H-1Bs, et cetera, we're finding that there's massive, massive fraud here as well. And I think all of this gets wrapped up if you look at it in the context of this has just been one big scheme by Democrats to import third worlders into our country, to replace Americans, to generate this corrupt money laundering machine so that, yes, some of the money is sent back overseas, obviously, but a lot of it is just to enrich these people so that they will continue to give to the Democrats who've empowered them to have all of this fraud. I think most Americans reject that. I know here in Texas, you know, people are freaking out about what we are uncovering here, and I think we're going to see some change soon.
Yeah, and Bill, I wanted to ask you because, you know, most people, I think we're second in the country when it comes to these H-1B visas being obtained and people coming here to work. Why is Texas so attractive to these individuals?
That's a great question. And I just sum it up this way. You know, Texas is really a beacon in the world. You know, we have our own identity. When I've traveled around the world, the first question they ask me is where I'm from in the United States. And when I say Texas, you know, people's eyes brighten up. I mean, we really do have a unique identity. But so for the people who want to come here, they see this as the pinnacle of being in America. It really is the best place to be in America. And, you know, I love some of my friends in other states, but Texas really is the best. Aside from that, you know, we're 30 plus million people. We have the eighth largest economy in the world. Just in Texas. So there is a massive amount of money here. You know, it's a huge state. There is plenty of opportunity to create these businesses that just hide in plain sight. I mean, we don't have a leering center here like they do in Minnesota, but I'm sure we have lots of IT and tech firms that are totally bogus, as we've seen with some of these journalists that are now uncovering, you know, 80 H-1Bs, you know, working out of some house for some IT firm or something like that, which is it's all nonsense, of course. So I think as we dig into this, we're going to find that the fraud is just far greater than what anyone has ever imagined.
Yeah, and I can't imagine them getting away with that in Texas. I know we have an AG here who's a fighter and is going to probably get on this himself and start looking into what's happening there, because I saw that post and I said, oh, this isn't going to last long for them, which is a good thing. This should be looked into. There should be a lot of oversight here. I kind of want to switch gears a little bit, though, but stay kind of on the same issue. We have an issue with Democrats. Democrats are consistently lying to the American people, and Tim Walz, the governor over in Minnesota, is doing just that, and he's hoping that the American people are just as stupid as he is when it comes to these lies. Take a listen to clip 16.
Federal government is raining down upon our communities. 2,000 to 3,000 armed agents of the federal government have been deployed to Minnesota. Armed, masked, undertrained ICE agents are going door to door, ordering people to point out where their neighbors of color live.
Okay, so right there is just like this fear-mongering campaign that the Democrats continue to push. And you know, Bo, you and I go back and forth sometimes through text, and I'm always flagging these stories for you of these illegal aliens who are in our communities who are committing heinous crimes. I mean, these Democrats don't ever talk about that. They're constantly talking about that they're just going into homes and grabbing people up as if they're just kidnapping people off the streets. What do you make of all of this? Because again, we saw in Dallas just a couple of months ago, one of their own left-wing terrorists opening fire on vehicles outside of the ICE office in downtown Dallas and killing migrants as they thought were going to be ICE agents instead. But we're seeing that they are radicalizing their own base when they use terms like you just heard Tim Walz use.
Yeah, everything that Democrats say typically is a projection of what they're actually doing onto Republicans. So, I mean, this is a prime example. You know, Democrats forever have said, you know, Republicans are the ones inciting violence. That speech was a massive incitement of violence against our very own brave law enforcement officers. And this notion that they are undertrained, I mean, this guy doesn't have any clue what he's talking about. This is like just Marxist tactics, you know, trying to divide the community, trying to, you know, generate the impetus for a revolution. We are not going to allow communists to have a revolution in America. I'm just telling you that right now. We are going to stop it. But this is what they're doing. Obviously, inciting violence against law enforcement officers in and of itself is a crime. And I think President Trump is exactly right in considering, you know, implementing the Insurrection Act in Minnesota and sending in troops, quelling this violence. You know, there is if you've read, you know, Alinsky's book or Clarendon Piven or whatever, all of them kind of talk about the same kind of thing, the way you incite violence. I don't think they're worried about whether or not they hurt an ICE officer, though I think they wouldn't care much about that. But their real aim is to have an overreaction or a situation where, you know, an ICE officer shoots somebody who's not, you know, who's just a protester or something like that. I mean, this is what they want. They're willing to sacrifice their own people for the greater cause of a Marxist revolution. And so that's what they're aiming to do. That's what all of these elected officials are aiming to do. And I think mainly it is because they're also all just in on it, right? I think none of this billions and billions, tens of billions of dollars of fraud in Minnesota would be happening without Tim Walz knowing about it. None of it would be happening without Ilhan Omar knowing about it. None of it would be happening without Jacob Frey knowing about it. I mean, these people for sure are in on it. There's no question in my mind. And I think the investigations will bear that out. But they should be condemned roundly. And, you know, there are good people in Minnesota. I know I talk to them frequently, and they are scared to death at what's happened. You know, they brought in initially 80,000 Somalis. That was, you know, almost 20 years ago, mm-hmm. How, or more than that now. Each one of those women has, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 babies. I mean, we're talking like 500,000 people. 500,000 Somalis now in Minnesota who should have never been there. And I mean, it's no surprise that they are taking over, they're winning elected office, they're laundering money through all kinds of fraud, our taxpayer money, by the way, and it's going back into the pockets of these corrupt elected officials. And I mean, has anyone asked the question, where is Ilhan Omar? Where does her money come from all of a sudden? I mean, she in just a few short years has gone from, you know, a 5-digit net worth to over $30 million on a congressional salary. I mean, there is no way that this is not part of some bigger fraud scheme. So I'm behind the administration 100%. I'm behind President Trump 100%. Send in the military and let's quell this violence.
Yeah, and I want to talk too about what happened yesterday. We saw that there was a federal agent who was simply stopping a vehicle of a Venezuelan illegal alien and was trying to apprehend him. And this individual fled, assaulted that agent, and then two people came out of their homes to help in the assault, according to DHS, even hitting the officer with a shovel. And I mean, this is insane. This is insane. And the rhetoric from those on the left continues to justify all of this. You know, Bo, I say it, I know it's a little dramatic, but I just always say that I don't see anything that I want, like that we have in common anymore with the left at this point, given the fact that they have been just so aggressive, so radical, and think that it's okay to assault a federal agent while he's trying to apprehend someone. What do you make of all of this, though, when we're sitting here watching federal agents being assaulted on a regular basis, even those who are trying to justify Renee Good's actions when she decided to use her vehicle as a weapon and hit an officer? I mean, he literally was dealing with injuries related to internal bleeding, and still they're saying that shooting wasn't even justifiable. I don't understand how we even have anything in common with these people if this is their rationale.
Well, if you understand that their whole motivation is a communist revolution,
yeah,
then you also understand that they don't care about truth. They don't care about facts. They only care about their narrative, and, which is why, of course, they rushed out after that first shooting to claim that, you know, she was just trying to get away and that she was innocent. No, she was a paid agitator, hell-bent on disrupting and impeding, you know, federal law enforcement operations, which is a crime. I mean, that's 15 years right there. And then she tried to run over the officer who was in front of her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is just something that they're going to do. I'll note that the shooting that took place last night was a response to, as you mentioned, three people trying to kill an ICE officer. They were beating him with sticks and snow shovels and whatever else was going on. And he had no choice. It was 3-on-1. Of course, he had to defend himself. Now, you know, he shot one person in the leg, apparently. Mm-hmm. And then those three people went and barricaded themselves in a residence. I mean, this is super dangerous when you talk about elected officials who are supposed to be there protecting and serving the community, instructing people in the community to go to war with law enforcement. I mean, this is just pinnacle Marxism. And so, you know, I'm confident that, again, the Trump administration is going to do the right thing here. That shooting was just, you know, I think 30 minutes after Tim Walz's speech last night. Mm-hmm. So I should say, not the shooting, the attack on the ICE officer that resulted in him shooting to defend himself. So, again, the left is going to lie. They're going to push a false narrative. This is just what they do. And I think we should expect far more of this until people on our side decide it's enough. And what I mean by that is our elected officials need to have the will to do what is right. And for far too long, Republicans have just been too worried about being called racist, being called Nazi or whatever. I mean, we are well past the time. It is time we stand up for America. It is time we stand up for our culture. We reject this wholly and we crush it.
Yeah, well, that was a great pivot for my next question, because you are now throwing your hat into all of this. You are running for Texas Railroad Commissioner. That election is on March 3rd. We look forward to that. But I want to get some reasons from you as to why you decided to throw your hat into this, because this is a big one for you. And I believe this is your first time running for office, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's not the first time, but certainly the biggest position that I've run for. And I will say this. First of all, the Texas Railroad Commission doesn't have anything to do with trains, for all my friends who love trains. Yeah, that's not the case. It regulates the oil and gas industry. Texas produces almost half the oil and gas in our nation. So it's a hugely important industry in Texas. It's our largest and most important industry here in Texas. But it has national security implications. You know, Securing our energy is important on the global stage, which is why President Trump is, you know, acting in Venezuela. It's why there's discussion around Iran, obviously, you know, some of the largest oil reserves in the world between those two countries. And so you know, we have to protect what we have here in Texas. And I'm running because I'm in the oil business. I've been in the oil business most of my career in one capacity or another. So I know the business, but that's not as important as what I see is happening under the current chairman of the Railroad Commission, who I'm running against. He's massively increased regulation, putting additional burdens and cost on our oil industry, you know, which is fine if you're a multinational corporation, you have teams of lawyers, you know, a little bit of, you know, some new regulations and additional expense is not the end of the world. But if you're like my father, who was a wildcatter, you know, trying to start in the oil business here in Texas, there's more burden on you now to do that. So it makes a less competitive environment, which is dangerous for our energy industry. And look, I am focused on an industry that benefits all Texans. And another thing that the commission has done under the leadership of my opponent is he's increased the focus on DEI. So the Railroad Commission awards contracts. They have gone from a couple of years ago to 41st in the state of Texas among state agencies in as a percentage of budget spent on DEI to 9th. So just in the environment where the rest of America is waking up and rejecting DEI because we understand that it's racist and anti-American, this guy has been increasing the focus on DEI. And it just speaks to, you know, a couple of things I would say, and that is, you know, too often you have elected officials who are just doing it because they have figured out some way to enrich themselves or to gain power or notoriety or whatever that is, instead of doing what's right. And doing what's right is not letting the bureaucrats underneath you come up with, you know, Green New Deal level regulations on our industry, you know, coming up with additional focus on DEI. I mean, that's what career bureaucrats do. I think we should reject that and actually elect a leader who will say no more of that. We're going to do what's best for Texans. We're going to do what's best for Texas and the United States of America and our energy industry. We're going to reject DEI, and we're going to make our industry the strongest and best industry in the country.
Yeah, well, that's what we like to hear, Bo. So thank you for that. And we look forward to following you as you make your way, hopefully, to this. This will be a good one. Folks, if you want to follow his campaign, head on over right now, BoFrench.com. BoFrench.com is where you're going to want to go to learn more. And you're also a great follow on X as well. So I recommend our audience follow you there, BoFrenchTX. That's where you're going to want to go to give him a follow as well. Bo, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Brianna, great to see you. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, we're keeping our eye on a lot that's going on right now. If you want to join the show and sound off on any of the news topics we've discussed so far, the next segment will be your opportunity. So call us 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I will also play a very great report that's being done right now by the legendary independent journalist, Miss Savannah Hernandez. She's been working hard on a story regarding a New Yorker who is now heading to prison. It's a big story. I know one close to her heart. So we look forward to playing her report that she just posted. It's a good one that you're going to want to listen in on. So we'll do that in the next segment as well. Also, well, we could just talk about it. I just saw Chrissy Noem was on Fox just a moment ago talking about the Insurrection Act. Now, she just met with the president a few moments ago as well. And she came out saying the president obviously is threatening to use it. And I spoke with POTUS this morning about several different things. But we did discuss that. That certainly is within the president's constitutional authority to utilize the Insurrection Act. And so she did say that obviously the two did talk about it. Obviously, if you saw what happened, that is something you're going to want to be utilized at this point because, well, I mean, folks, they're literally going through federal agents' cars stealing firearms, according to Nick Sorter, and that's concerning. Now, it's also worth noting that Noem did say that that vehicle you see in this video is not a car that is owned by DHS. She believes it is an FBI car, a vehicle, so just keep that in mind. But as you can see here, Nick Sorter reporting that there was a rifle stolen from the car, as well as sensitive documents as well. Now, we don't know specifically what was outlined in those documents. I did see that there was a lefty streamer who was broadcasting it. Obviously, I wouldn't do that either, because that's not a good thing to do, to broadcast those specific details to potentially target law enforcement. So we'll just keep sifting through all the information to bring it to you as it develops. We've got a lot more to discuss in just a bit, so if you don't want to, well, if you want to join the show, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment.
We're gonna make it, men! Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
They looked at sleep deprivation with creatine supplementation. And so they randomized people to either drink a placebo drink or drink 20 grams of creatine through the night. And they kept them awake all night, and they had them do brain puzzle quizzes. And when the subjects were getting the 20 grams of creatine, they did way better on the brain puzzles, but they also complained about being tired a lot less. And so the conclusion is creatine is somehow acutely preventing your brain from suffering during sleep deprivation. And the rationale there is, you know, mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell, or the power plant that's producing the energy. Creatine is like the power grid, and it distributes that energy throughout the cell. And so if the purpose of sleep is to restore the energy that you used up, but then you intervene by putting creatine in there, now you can keep that energy going, and you can go more hours before you need to get rest and restore that energy because you've increased your capacity to distribute it.
That makes sense. Used to be, people only thought of creatine as being a muscle thing. To help you recover. But then over the last year or two, I started hearing talking about cognitive function.
There is some literature on traumatic brain injury where 20 grams of creatine for 6 months doubles the rate of healing.
Whoa. That's incredible.
But it's, yeah, the just creatine, I called it more than a performance enhancer because there's, if you just look at where it's distributed in the body, almost every cell and every tissue has the creatine system. And if you look at the literature, they'll say, well, it's more important in certain cells. Like, it's really important in your muscles because your muscles have this very polarized, sometimes they're at rest, sometimes their energy demand is going through the roof. And it's really important in like long cells. So for example, your retina is part of your central nervous system, and it's this really long cell that's coming from the brain into the eye, and creatine helps move energy back and forth. But if you just look at where, instead of where is it most important, you just like, where is it? It's like almost every cell in your body has creatine, and it's helping distribute the energy that the mitochondria make throughout your whole body, and that includes pumping stomach acid, it includes sperm swimming up the vaginal canal. And so if you just look at where it is, you would think that creatine would help a lot more than muscles. And I think creatine is really important because it's not in the mitochondria so much as it carries forth the mitochondrial energy of the rest of the cell. But that also feeds back in the repair functions for the mitochondria. And so I think creatine, optimizing your creatine status is super important. And I think that everyone who's not eating 1 or 2 pounds of meat per day should probably be taking creatine.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
We are back with The American Journal. So you're all jumping on with us. We'll get to the callers in just a little bit. I wanted to highlight the incredible work that's being done by Savannah Hernandez. She does a great job at digging into stories, and she's recently just released a news story in regards to a 67-year-old man who was sadly taken into custody and is about to spend 4 years in prison. This is all because he defended himself. So this is a big, big story that Savannah's been working on, and I wanted to make sure it was on your radar. So let's take a listen to clip six.
This is Savannah Hernandez outside of the Queens Criminal Courthouse in New York City, where I just attended the sentencing for Charles Foner, the 67-year-old retiree who was just sentenced to 4 years in prison after defending himself from a 15-time career criminal here in New York City. Now, if you're not familiar with the story of Charles, basically back in 2023, a 15-time career criminal with a history of mental illness ended up threatening him and lunging at him. Charles, who had a handgun in his pocket, which he had, by the way, because of his fears of rising crime throughout the city, ended up pulling out his weapon, telling this man to stop. He did not heed the warning. He continued to lunge at Charles. Charles opened fire and ended up killing him. Now, interesting thing about this case is that the DA of Queens, Melinda Katz, did not bring forth homicide or manslaughter charges because even her office agreed that this was a clear-cut case of self-defense. However, what they did decide to charge Charles for was criminal possession of a weapon. And then after this incident happened, the police went and searched his home and they found what they stated is an arsenal of unlicensed weapons. And I want to say he had about 30 other guns in his home. And Charles's attorney stated that Charles has been shooting guns since he was a kid. Charles has no criminal history, and he has been around guns his entire life. However, because he was in New York and these were unlicensed, the DA decided to bring forward these charges. Now, something else I want to bring up is there was a case that was very similar to what happened to Charles with a 69-year-old homeless man on a subway in New York who ended up killing somebody in self-defense. Now, this homeless man ended up getting attacked by five illegal immigrants, and he used a knife to fight off his attackers, and he ended up stabbing and killing one. Again, Melinda Katz's office decided that this was a clear-cut case of self-defense and decided not to press any charges at all, and that case has since been dropped. Very similar to Charles's case, the main difference here, though, is, of course, the weapon use. Instead of using a gun to defend himself from criminals, this homeless man used a knife, and the DA did not bring forward those charges. So I spoke to Charles's attorney, who was present today, who stated that this is one of the saddest cases that he's ever worked on. To understand how this has impacted Charles, here's what he had to say.
I don't think justice was served on the macro level. You know, we've said consistently our position is that Charlie is not without fault. He possessed firearms that he wasn't lawfully allowed to possess. The question is one of proportionality. Prosecutors have essentially absolute discretion in these situations. They exercised some of that discretion to give Charlie a sentence that was less than what he would have faced at trial. They exercised some of that discretion in ultimately not charging him with homicide. But the question is whether the ultimate sentence was proportional, whether it was necessary to send someone of Charlie's age, given his lack of history of any violence, the impeccable life he's led, to an upstate prison sentence where we continue in this city and other cities throughout the United States watch recidivist violent offenders given second, third, fourth, fifth chances from the criminal justice system. And in Charlie's case, he was not a person of means. He's lived a very middle-class, working-class lifestyle. As a result of this prosecution, he's had to sell the home that him and his wife had strived for years to finally own. His Social Security benefits, which really, given his age, make up a disproportionate amount of whatever income he has in retirement, will stop while he's in prison. And of course, as I alluded to before, there's the psychological, emotional, mental impact, the separation from family. I've been practicing law and criminal law for 25 years. I've tried cases in Iraq in a courtroom that was where there were explosive devices going off outside the courtroom. I have never, as a military veteran, I've never seen or been part of a case as sad and as tragic as this one.
Now, the judge in this case stated that Americans have been very vocal about this case, calling her office, leaving voicemails, sending in emails on behalf of Charles. However, she highlighted how she was not responsible for the charges brought forward in this case. Again, that rested with the DA and her office. And basically, they had Charles choose between a trial by jury and up to 25 years in prison for these unlicensed handguns and criminal possession of a weapon, or that he could take this plea deal for a minimum of 5 years in prison that his attorney actually negotiated down to four. So he was officially sentenced today. He is now in custody, going to be spending 4 years in a state prison after defending himself from a career criminal here in New York City. And one of the most memorable arguments that his attorney brought forward today in these closing statements was that perhaps Charles would not even have had the opportunity to be on the stand today if he didn't have his gun to protect himself. Perhaps it would have been Cody Gonzalez, his assailant with 15 prior arrests and a history of mental illness, who would have been here instead. So an idea of what crime is looking like in New York City, what self-defense is looking like in New York City, and of course, what gun rights look like in New York City.
Oh, man. Well, great work by Savannah Hernandez. She's doing incredible reporting. And it's just a sad, sad story. I mean, as many of you guys know, I left New York back in, I believe it was 2019. And it was after reading the legislation that they brought forward, which gives criminals more rights than the actual victims of crime. And when I was in situations where I wanted to defend myself, but you can't legally obtain a weapon in New York City, you just go, what am I going to do here? And you leave. And sadly, this is a gentleman who obviously has done his best for society, has been a law-abiding citizen, and they just shuffle him away to prison for 4 years. 4 years. 4 years. An absolute disgrace that the Queens DA's office is, I must say. The Queens DA office is an absolute disgrace. She is a far lefty. She's not as far as her opponent, though. This was actually a blessing in disguise to get her in there, even though I thought she was awful herself. And I know the judge is also claiming, given the fact that this was a plea agreement, that she really didn't have much in the way. I don't know if they're able to just sit there and say, no, we're not even going to give this guy prison time. I would hope someone would do that. But man, absolute devastating news. And that poor family, what they've had to endure for defending themselves against a low-life criminal that was looking to cause harm. All right, folks, let's take some calls right now. We're going to try our best to get through all the callers. So first one up, Jake from Missouri. Jake, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. I'd like to take you back a couple of days with Savage Dog and Brian, if you don't mind.
Yes, let's hear it. Savage Dog is also on hold, too, as well.
Okay, Savage Dog, remember your oath, brother. But what did the first Gulf War, which I was in, and the second Gulf War besides the country have in common? Connect the dots. Well, hey, you there?
Yes. Well, I thought you were halfway through it, so finish connecting the dots for us.
Okay. What it has in common, Savage Dog kind of touched on it, Halliburton. Uh-huh. During the first Gulf War, nobody's ever brought this up before, and I think it's strange. The first Gulf War Secretary of Defense was Dick Cheney. During the second Iraq deal, who was the vice president? Dick Cheney.
Uh-huh.
And who? Kim Bono. Who gained? Who won? Halliburton. Dick Cheney. But nobody's ever connected those dots before. Hey, what the heck? And like Brian was saying, he couldn't understand why they were there. No, Kim Bono, Dick Cheney, Halliburton.
Yeah, well, Jake, we're actually going to bring Savage Dog into the conversation so he could talk with you about this one because he is on hold. I think we have Savage Dog. Are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am. How are you today?
We're doing great. Jake, you know, he's got some points he wants to bring up to you. So I figured we'd welcome you into the discussion and get you both on the hold lines together and to chat it up a little bit.
Okay. Well, I hear what you're saying, brother. Well, I mean, let's go even further with 9/11, the start of the whole damn thing. You know, the whole Bush family and Cheney and all them, you know, the whole thing was all orchestrated. There wasn't no Saudis in any planes.
Why Dick Cheney was sitting in his office watching it on TV with his shoes off, kicked back.
I mean, it was all orchestrated. It's a no-brainer. I mean, it's like saying water's wet. I mean, the whole thing was about money. Okay, now we're the big dogs on the block. The Soviet Union's fallen. We got all these weapons. We don't have a reason to fire them off and produce more. Well, let's orchestrate one and let's spend billions and billions and billions of dollars. So we got to make more missiles and planes and tanks and upgrade equipment and up armor Humvees and let, you know, I mean, that's, that's just the way it was. I don't know if it will be ever again. So many people are awake now to it, but, you know.
Savage there you dog. Go. I was in 3rd Armored Division, and while we were there, they started disbanding 3rd Armored Division. Where the hell did all of 3rd Armored Division equipment go, beans? We left it locked up, clean and pretty in KKMC. Where did it go?
I don't know. Was it on the highway to hell on the side of the road? When I was there in 2005, I rode from a Humvee from Kuwait to TQ, I think. Anyway, yeah, I saw all the stuff that we bombed out on the way out. You know, on the side of the road, I couldn't recognize anything, but, you know, either there or maybe it made it to a Turkish bazaar. Who knows where it went, but it probably got sold. Why not? No, we're not using it. We got to sell it to somebody. Let's give it to the Kazakhstanis. I don't know.
Which brings me to the military's audit. They're what, $3 trillion down that they can't account for? Well, I wonder what a division of Bradley M1 and all the equipment and Humvees would come to.
Bro, Afghanistan got a lot of that. I mean, that's been the game. It's a game. It's a game. Let's see how much we can rob, and we're seeing it, you know. Well, hell, let's make some fake leering centers and rob some money.
I mean, I like to have crapped when I saw that leering. What the heck? Okay, yeah.
What else are you gonna do with kids when you're a diddler? I'd like to shout out JD DeLay and the wood chipper option.
Said exactly what they were doing.
Yeah,
leering.
Yeah. Well, first off, guys. Both Jake and Savage Dog, thank you guys. This was very entertaining to listen in on. I didn't even know we could do this, but we did it. Jake, thank you for calling into the show. I appreciate you sounding off. And Savage Dog, we still have you because I know you were looking to talk about something else. I want to make sure we got your take on it. But Savage Dog, what specifically did you want to come on and talk about?
Well, I wanted to say I got my 7,000 shekel check for promoting us obliterating Iran the other day. So I'm sitting here in Mexico, where it's warm.
Yeah.
No, I'm lying. I'm in South Georgia, freezing off my cojones.
Yeah, well, people were a little skeptical of your push for Iran. I don't know. I appreciated your take on it. I didn't think you were cashing out with Israel.
Well, you know, I wasn't. No, seriously. I mean, that's a no-lose situation. But anyway, speaking of the weather here, that Al Gore was a liar. I don't know what he was talking about, global warming. Yeah. all right, so my point. Have you ever seen the movie Gamer with Gerard Butler?
I have not seen that movie, no.
Watch it. It's one of those predictive programming movies. The premise of the movie is it's a near future a Bill Gates type guy. I can't think of his name. Michael something. He was Dexter. Mm-hmm. Showtime show. Well, he developed a technology where you had nanotechnology inserted into the back of your neck. You're either a receiver or a sender, and you can, if you're poor, then you sell yourself to be a receiver, and you basically are in a Sim City where some controller controls you. And then they upgraded to where it was like a first-person shooter game where prisoners, like death row inmates, could volunteer to be controlled by somebody in a first-person shooter game. But they're all controlled through this nanotech. Well, you know, everybody's wondering, well, you know, these leftists are insane. They're acting so irrational, and it doesn't make sense. Well, you know, 5 years ago, we had these vaccines that scientists proved were full of smart dust, graphene oxide, which other scientists showed in a petri dish were being formed into little microchips. And you know all these purple-haired, nose ring, big glasses idiots, they all got their 18th boosters. And I'm just wondering, you know, and then in 2020 also with a lot, or 21 with lockdown, you had 5G rolling up everywhere. And I wonder if, you know, just like I said, a conspiracy butter on the toast. Do these I don't think the purpose of the shots were to kill or, what do you call it, where you can't give birth, although that was a cool side effect for them. But I think it was to make a zombie army that they could control. And so that now there is no rationale, reasoning, you know, everybody, well, how we reason with them. I mean, well, we can't. Well, you don't. Well, maybe that's why. You know, it's always interesting and it's always productive to know the why. This is about the only thing I could think of as to why these people are acting in such a robotic way, irrational way, that there is no reasoning. Like, well, why did Renee Good, you know, why was she, why did she do this? Because she was programmed, because she was zapped and said, do it, you know, for the globalist, communist, satanic world order.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got, you know, some happy, good stuff.
Well, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And our audience does love you. So Savage Dog, thank you as always. We appreciate it. And so you're talking about Renee Good too. Let's get to Lester, who also wants to talk about Renee. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I want to talk about St. Good for a minute. Well, here's what I got a question for you is, I got a lot of liberal friends. I got a few. I mean, I hate to say that, but I try not to, mix friendship and politics. But, man, I mean, they're coming on my Facebook page. Justify it. The guy was on ice. How did he was able to slip on a sheet of ice and still have a clean shoot? Da-da-da. It was premeditated. I mean, the way I can justify it is when you do not impede with the federal warrant. That's a court order. It's not a warrant. A court order, to me, is stronger than anything, than any warrant you can put out, because that judge is ordering the court, an officer of the court, to pick someone up. So what say you, Brianna?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't. It's kind of crazy, and I like how you started off too, because I was trying to focus on the beginning part of your statement too, as well, about how, you know, we try our best to keep friends who we don't politically agree with. I'm not like the left where I cancel them, but it's hard to understand the rationale behind all of this and why they're so aggressive on this front. So, yeah, I don't really know, honestly, Lester, to be blunt. It's we're getting into really strange territory here where we have people who are just completely not in the loop on these issues. They don't understand these issues, or they are just intentionally being fed. They are being intentionally fed bad information. So yeah, I don't know. These judges are obviously out of, they've gone nuts too. And I like how the DOJ, and this is, we could praise the DOJ here too, how the DOJ just recently fired those six employees who decided to say that they were going to leave the agency, but they wanted to go on vacation first and use their bank time because they weren't happy with the DOJ's refusal to open up that civil rights investigation into the agent who did open fire on Renee Good. So I think we live in strange times right now where a lot of these people who, you know, we enjoy our friendships with them. It's really getting hard. It's really getting hard on that front. Lester, I heard you had one more thing you wanted to say, though. I didn't want to take up too much of the time because we only have about 3 minutes left, and I want to get to somebody else before we go. What was that second point you wanted to make?
Oh, I don't really have a second point. Like I said, I just, wanted to know, you know, a good basis to argue besides that those protesters should be within 90 feet of any investigation. That's it.
Okay, 90 feet away from the investigation. Sorry, it was hard for me to hear, Lester. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's logical. I think that's how it should be, truly. So I think you have a valid point there. Lester, thank you for calling to the show. I greatly appreciate your time, and thank you. We appreciate that. Let's get to Joe in Michigan. Joe, I hear you want to talk about AI, so welcome to the show. We've got about 3 minutes left.
Thanks, Brianna. Yeah, I would just want to let you know I really enjoy your program, and
you're
doing a great job here.
Thank you.
I wanted to do was focus on the AI situation that you kind of, you said you weren't too sure about it and blah, blah, blah. Well, the thing is that we have to basically, if we're three, four steps behind China right now. And someone's always told me if you ain't one step ahead, you're two steps behind, because of the fact is that they are controlling all the rare earth minerals right now. And this is one reason why we are going into Greenland, so we can get the rare earth minerals, so we can start building our own ships, and that we can start putting in the data centers, because the AI is very important right now to the national security of our country. Because China has figured out through the AI and quantum computing that they can control everything, and that is through like the QR code. I don't know if you remember a few years back where they were they had Pokemon Go, okay, and people were walking around looking for the Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Well, the Pokemon Go is based on the game Go. And there was a program that aired November 5th, 2019, called, and I really want you to go watch this, it's on YouTube, In the Age of AI, uh-huh. And it'll give you a whole perspective of what is being planned, what is going on now, and what's going to go on in the future. And it talks about medical, it talks about transportation, and actually the Chinese are putting in 10% more data in AI than we are right now. Mm-hmm. And they're like the Saudi Arabia, where, you know, they were the head of the oil and energy boom. Well, China is going to be ahead of the technology boom. There's going to be an American tech center, and a Chinese tech. And the more data that goes into the AI, the better it works. And they could basically figure out way ahead of time if, you know, they want to invade a country or they want to go around and do their things around the world with their Belt and Road Initiative, that they just plug in the program and then they can figure out what the results are going to be in a matter of probably minutes.
Yeah.
So we've basically been captured here already. And through facial recognition, that's going to be another big thing when you go in the airport and mm-hmm. we take your picture, mm-hmm. you know, and if you say, yeah, well, then once they take your picture, that's it. You are biometrically already in their database.
Yeah.
And they can, you know, and like what you said, you couldn't figure it out and why they wanted to get out. And a lot of people can't figure out why they got to get these data centers up, is because if we don't, China's going to just take us over, which they've already got us now.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying, Joe. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate your insight on that, folks. The Alex Jones Show starts next. Don't go anywhere.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at Infowars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, you know, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before their hatch. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.